welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores,
football apparel, and related accessories.
That's a very specific thing. I don't know what I'm looking for. Boots? Are these more like rings and wristwatches?
All of the above.
We've probably done all together.
I'm out of things to talk about.
There's nothing. We've covered the whole world in football. Oh. This is the week of September 25th. As usual, I'm your host, Shaw Thomas.
I'm Rob Stiller.
As we mentioned last week, our third compatriot is out, Dave, so he'll be out for, I believe, another week. But we will start in normal fashion. We're going to go over all the league scores. Every league was in action, so that'll be good to go over any league changes. And then also, there's going to be some Champions League fixtures coming up. So we'll probably go over that and see, maybe have some predictions, and then maybe next week we'll talk about what actually happened. We're probably going to skip a topic today, so it's just going to be football, football, and more football happenings.
I love it.
Okay, let's get into it.
All right, so let's start in the French League. And we had some upsets, my friend.
Yeah.
Toulouse beat PSG 2-0.
They are not the unbeatable team of last year.
No, it's crazy. There's a huge, huge shift in France this year. PSG did go man down right after the break and then lost both goals after that. So that played a factor. But, man, that's another loss for them. That's
and it's
crazy.
Funny. So Serge Aurier is the one who got red carded, so he'll obviously be out for however long. But there's also something with apparently a prison sentence coming up, so he might be out for longer for other reasons. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I mean, I don't know what's actually happening. So anyway, back to the football. I believe this is their second loss of the year, which apparently equals the number of losses they had of all of last year.
It's not good. It's only been seven games.
That's honestly, though, even if this wasn't PSG, like even in general, that's not a great number of losses. I think what, two losses and one draw?
Yep, and four wins. Yeah,
so I mean, honestly, four wins, that's kind of an average team. That's not really that amazing.
You're correct.
When you think about it, so obviously Ibra left. That was one big thing. But the other huge thing is they fired Laurent Blanc and they brought in Unai Emery from Sevilla.
Right.
Reason being, I assume he could hopefully bring them further in Champions League. Because he, for those who don't remember, he won three Europa League titles with Seville. And so this, you know, hopefully, you know, they needed some European experience. They haven't gone as far as they should. Honestly, I'm surprised they haven't gone further yet. But I mean, if they end up losing the league, I've heard that I don't remember his name, the person who actually owns PSG handpicked Unai Emery, so it sounds like his job is still safe for now. And I assume they're not going to fire him this soon, but this is not he's got to figure this out.
They're still 4 points. I mean, they're 4 points behind, which at the end of the day is not a huge deficit to overcome, but it's just not up to their normal standards, let's just say.
And I mean, the question is, I mean, they already lost to Monaco. I don't believe they've played Nice yet. Toulouse, I guess right now is in third place. They seem like a decent team, but I mean, losing to two of the top five teams, that doesn't bode well for your ability as a club in general. So honestly, even let's say they end up winning Ligue 1, how are they going to do better in the Champions League if they're not that great?
I don't know, Sean.
honestly, I've said this so many times. They still have an incredibly stacked squad. You really look at the numbers they have, and their two biggest losses are probably, Ibra and what's his name? The center back who went to Chelsea, who came back from Chelsea, David Luiz. But honestly, you know, Ibra, you can replace Ibra. Well, I would think you can replace Ibra. Apparently you can't. I'm surprised they're doing as poorly. And I don't know, on the other end, it's nice to see more competitiveness in Ligue 1, but it's kind of crazy that, you know, Monaco is doing really well. And, you know, of course, Nice is doing really well, too.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at some of the other scores. Olympique Lyon lost 1-0 to Lorient. AS Monaco got a 2-1 win over Angers. Bordeaux with a 0-0 draw against Cyan. And we had a few games on Sunday as well. Saint-Étienne, 3-1 win over Lille. Nice kept going with a 1-0 win over Nancy Lorraine. and Marseille also had a 2-1 win over Nantes. So that leaves Nice in first place in Ligue 1 with 17 points after seven games. Monaco with 16 points. Toulouse with 14. PSG with 13. Bordeaux with 13. And Metz also with 13. Rounds out the top six.
So now, I mean, I guess, you know, it's already a two-horse race, Monaco and Nice.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see. It's kind of like the Italian league, too. It's just you want to see. You've had a team dominating for so long that it's good to see some competition finally emerging and also hopefully will make for a more competitive and compelling season.
Very true. And also, I kind of think, I mean, this is going to sound so bad, but truthfully, I don't really know that many players in Ligue 1 outside of PSG and Balotelli. Yeah. And you think of even Serie A, I could name a number of players on some of the better teams. So it'll be better just for the league in general. I mean, I believe they're going to be left out of the whole change to Champions League where they'll be top four automatically go. They're still in fifth with coefficient, so they're not going to get there. But I don't know. I think it's good for the league that there's better teams, but it's, I don't know. We'll have to see if PSG can come back and make it more of a race. But right now, Nice is just running away with it. So moving into the German league, on Friday, Dortmund actually played Freiburg, and they ended up winning pretty comfortably 3-1. We had a bevy of scores. It's really good. Dortmund just keeps on ticking, and it's odd to see. I don't actually know what happened in their, I think it was a draw a few weeks back that when they dropped points, because honestly,
they lost one game. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so they lost. Sorry, I don't actually know what happened because they're just rolling. I mean, a 3-1 victory is pretty significant. Yep. Granted, one of the goals was kind of in garbage time, but I mean, Dortmund looks incredibly good, and like we'll get into soon, they're going to be playing Real Madrid in Champs League, so that'll be probably their biggest test of the season so far. I mean, maybe there's nothing else in the league that really tests them as strongly as Madrid will, but it's good to see them keep rolling. I really hope the problem is they always drop points at bad times, like, and Munich just doesn't. Perfect example is this weekend. So they played Hamburg. They ended up winning 1-0, but they only scored it in the 88th minute. So they left it very, very late, and I don't think they had a very good game. But, you know, they still have all 3 points, so it doesn't really matter at all. And when it comes down to it, how are you going to catch up to a team that's just constantly winning every single time? It shows their depth. I mean, that's what can happen when you have a team like that, but it's, I don't know. I hope that Munich... I have nothing against Munich. I like them a lot because they have just so many good players. But it's disappointing to see how easily they win every year. And I mean, it's Ancelotti's first year there, but it seems like they're going as usual. So then, aside from that, looking at Leverkusen, Chicharito had a hat trick to come back. I think it was a 3-2 victory. So it's crazy how much Chicharito has been reborn. Like, you know, he had a really good start at Man U. Everybody loved him. He was that poacher that just consistently scored for them. And then he kind of had a downturn. They ended up, did they sell him to Madrid after that? He went to a couple different places. He was at Madrid at some point. He wasn't doing that well. He was getting subbed on. Like, basically it felt like his career was either over or was basically he was going to be relegated to, and no offense to fans, but maybe you go to MLS or something. Or maybe you go home to Mexico. He could play in the Mexican league. And now he's at Leverkusen scoring at will. It's kind of crazy. I didn't watch the game, but it's nice to see a player get his scoring boots back on. And then, I mean, looking at the table, it's the same as what you expect. Bayern Munich's on top. Dortmund's in second. Oh, I should mention Cologne actually drew. So they were in second place. They had only conceded one goal, and now they've conceded two goals because they drew 1-1. Yeah, it is. But that draw dropped them a bit. So now Munich is on 15 points. Dortmund is 3 points behind on 12 points. So if Dortmund can beat them when they play each other, I mean, that could change things, but really being 3 points behind is pretty big. Mönchengladbach is in fourth, and then, you know, you just keep going down, and there's some more teams. Some notable, I mean, Wolfsburg is only in 13th, a little bit surprising, and Leverkusen is 10th. So some teams that are a little bit lower than you'd expect, but overall it seems like the Bundesliga is kind of going as you expect it.
So let's move on to the Serie A. So Juventus got a 1-0 win over Palermo to keep going, although it took an own goal for them to win, so not as typically convincing as they normally are.
But same thing going back with Munich. It's like, I heard that Juventus was not good in that game, but they got 3 points.
Who cares?
Somehow.
They got the points. That's all that matters.
It's kind of annoying. Day, right? You know, it's one of those things where you're just like, just lose. Yeah. Just lose. Yeah. You're supposed to lose.
Just drop some points. Napoli got a 2-0 win over Chievo Verona. Huge upset. Torino. Whose Torino is it, Sean? Joe Hart's Torino.
I kid you not, on ESPN FC, they actually wrote that. They said, I forgot, somebody's brace led Joe Hart's Torino.
Falke had a brace for Torino. Yeah, okay. Belotti had the other goal. And Totti actually got one back for Roma. Man, that guy just does not
stop. I don't
stop
know how
playing.
He's... like. He could be on an over 40 team, right? At this point, I think his birthday happened by now. So,
so big win for Torino, big points lost for Roma. Also dropping points. Inter with a 1-1 draw against Bologna to only pick up a point there. Lazio with a 2-0 win over Empoli. Genoa drawing to Pescara 1-1. Sassuolo 1-0 over Udinese. Fiorentina played Milan, which is one of the bigger matchups of the weekend. Played out to a 0-0 draw. Milan unlucky, in my opinion, to get a PK in the 94th minute of stoppage time. Adriano subbed on for Bacca, had a good run towards the box and was taken out. I have no idea why that wasn't given a PK. But Fiorentina had a chance to go up earlier on with a PK that was off the post. So big let off for Milan there. Other than that, both teams showed attacking. Milan looked pretty good in attacking, which is good just to see the creativity and the attacking movement again in the team. Both teams had chances. Neither team could get that winning goal, so 1 point apiece.
You know, it's funny. It was obviously big for you. So if you had won, you would have been in...
in third, I believe.
So you would have 12 points. Yeah, you would have been in third. Yeah. So that would be huge. And honestly, for Fiorentina too, they're right now sitting in 11th.
Yeah.
Which is a little surprising this early on to the season with their 5-2-2. Oh, wait, sorry. 2-2-1. Yeah, sorry. Five games played. Yeah, yeah. They don't have 5 wins.
No.
but that's not a great scoreline either. That's not a good record. So that was a big game for them too. I guess disappointing for fans of both sides, but you're obviously like, that would be crazy if you guys were in third.
That's, would be pretty crazy, yeah. Sean. I don't remember the last time I can say we've done that. There were a couple late games on Monday. Atalanta 3-1 over Crotone, and Cagliari 2-1 over Sampdoria. So that leaves Juventus at the top of the table by 1 point, 15 points, 5 wins, 0 draws, 1 loss. Napoli is still undefeated, 4 wins and 2 draws with 14 points. Inter in third place. The wrong Milan, oh. Sean. The wrong Milan is in third with 11 points. Roma have 10, Lazio 10, Milan 10, Chievo yeah. 10, and Bologna all have 10
points. It's pretty crazy how many teams have 10 points right now.
So it's good. It's good to see that competition. Hopefully that keeps up and some teams can chip away at Juventus as we move on.
I mean, it shows, so that Inter loss was actually huge. I mean, they're really only leading by 1 point. That's not that big. But this is also those things where this is when you're supposed to take that lead, take advantage of it. You need to win these little games.
And they have a big, big game coming up against Roma next week, which is interesting because both teams did not perform well over the weekend. And both teams would really, really like those points to keep stride with Juventus.
Predictions? Totti hat trick?
Oh, I'd love to see Totti hat trick. I mean, anytime Inter loses is fine for me.
Inter's playing Roma.
Inter's playing
Roma. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it'd be good to see. It should be a good match either way. I think both teams, like I said, coming off that poor performance over the weekend, both need to show some resolve and come back and get 3 points in this match. So it should be an interesting match.
Apparently, also Totti's wife called Spalletti a little man because I guess the way he took him off or something like that, she was not happy with that. I didn't really follow it.
Can't mess with that man.
Yeah. No, Totti. I mean, I wonder, is Totti older than Spalletti? That would actually be really funny. Okay, moving into La Liga, there were some interesting scores. So let's start.
Says the Barca fan.
Of course. So Atleti ended up winning 1-0. Griezmann had a good goal, and it ended up being just a grind out win.
He's having a good season, huh?
I mean, Griezmann, he's an outstanding player. Yeah. I can't believe, it's funny because. So there were a lot of talks of him being sold last year. And I was about to say, I can't believe he hasn't been sold. But then I think about it, and I keep doing this. I think a lot of people still do this. They forget that Atletico Madrid is probably one of the best, maybe 5 teams in the world. Like, they could, the fact that how they beat Barcelona and Bayern Munich last year, and last year, did they also beat Juventus? Like, they consistently beat teams that are, quote, like the juggernauts. And honestly, they could probably win the Premier League. Like, they, especially their type of play, like, they're very aggressive and defensive, or sorry, they're more physical and things like that. But Griezmann, I mean, he was a star last year. He was ridiculous. I feel like last year was more of the breakout, or maybe 2 years ago. But this year, he's still doing well. It's good to see. I really like Griezmann. You know, we're friends. We talk. So ever since I saw that one interview where he was talking, and then Pogba came out in the background and he said, "What up?" I was like,
"Yeah." I think
he's
got Griezmann's five goals in five games already this season.
He's really good. Like, there's no question that he is one of the best players in La Liga, one of the best players in the world. Honestly, when you think about it, it's kind of surprising, and it shows their own strength that him and Aubameyang both didn't leave their respective clubs.
Yeah,
same thing with Dortmund. Dortmund is a really solid club. It's like, do you want to go to Chelsea where, I mean, you'll definitely get more money, but you really might not be on a good team, or like even I don't know, you could say some of the Manchester clubs, who knows? So kind of shows their strength. But, you know, after some initial draws, Atleti's back to their winning mentality. Valencia won, and the only reason I'm mentioning that is because they've had a record start in a negative way. They've had the worst start they've ever had with that many losses. They fired their coach.
I feel for you, Valencia fans, man, the last couple of years in Milan.
Yeah, and it's crazy too because we probably don't talk about it that much. Admittedly, I mean, I don't follow them that much, but they are one of, I mean, probably, I would say, if there was maybe a top six in La Liga, the first three are the obvious ones, Barca, Real Madrid, and Atleti. But then you go to Villarreal, Valencia, and then Seville. Like, Valencia is probably the fourth biggest club in La Liga, and it's crazy to see how poorly they're doing. So hopefully they can bounce back from it. I think they have an interim coach right now. I don't actually remember who they hired after they fired their old coach. But then moving in, Barca played on Saturday. We had a 5-0 victory. It wasn't as close as it seems. It was, I mean, it was still, we were definitely the better team. It was basically 2-0 for most of the game. And then they got a red card, and it ended up leading to 3 goals after that. Neymar had a brace, and then I think it was Arda Turan who had the fifth. But it was, I guess, a fairly comfortable win. I don't think it was as comfortable as the scoreline suggests, but definitely it's fun to watch us score a lot. And this was the first game, this is without Messi.
First full game without Messi.
Admittedly, I mean, we still have Neymar and Suarez.
It is, but didn't this happen last year where you missed Messi for a couple games that you didn't perform well?
No, it was
the
opposite.
Oh, it was the opposite, right?
Actually,
that's right.
It was ridiculous. Neymar and Suarez had this ridiculous, they scored a bunch of goals, and the first goal that wasn't Neymar and Suarez was like 5 weeks in or something. Like, it was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. I think one bigger difference was that we actually, I think, was it this game that we changed up the midfield quite a bit? You know, the whole story about Barcelona this year is how we're going to live with changes to our team. So, we had Andre Gomes in. We had Lucas Digne in the back. Jeremy Mathieu. Like, we still don't have Umtiti back. Mascherano didn't look great. We had a lot of changes overall to this team, and we still did well, which is a big deal because when you're playing in as many, I guess, competitions and where you're expected to win,
you have
to have that. Yeah. We need players who can win versus Gijon so that we can play our better players when we're playing, when we play Man City or something like that. So either way, a good win. A lot of other players got some game time, and I don't know, it's always good to see. Then the big match, or not exactly expected, Las Palmas, little Las Palmas. They're on their own little island. You actually have to fly there. Well, it's an island, so you obviously have to fly there, but it's like really far off the coast of Spain or something like that. They were promoted last year, I believe. They ended up drawing Real Madrid 2-2. Now, okay, it is heroic in a sense, but it isn't in another way. This was a game where, so Real Madrid, both their goals were actually scored off rebounds. And basically the keeper, you know, like deflected it, but it just went into another Madrid player. It kind of goes into, on one end, those aren't exactly the goals you want to score, but you're still scoring
it.
But it kind of goes to the element that Real Madrid does not look as good as you would expect Real Madrid to look. Admittedly, and this is not just the Barca fan in me, I don't think they looked that amazing last year either. I mean, I always harp on this. I'll probably harp on it more later on. But in the Champions League, they had a really easy draw. Yep. And even like versus the teams they had to play, like City, they ended up winning 1-0 over two legs. With this situation, Las Palmas' first goal was really good. Their second goal was extremely scrappy. Casilla, Real Madrid's keeper right now, saved it, and then basically it like bounced to the player and it just like kind of rolled in. It was kind of a funny goal, but whatever, they snatched it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a draw. In my opinion, I really mean this. Real Madrid was the better team, but at this point, they're kind of running out of luck. They had a lot of games where they did not look that good. But as we talked about last week, there's a whole finishing aspect that the top teams have where they can just
they grind it out.
But like, it's one of those things where, like, if you have James, you could literally have nothing going on. You just put him at the outside of the box. He'll just make some shot and it'll go to the bottom corner. And that's how you can win. Whereas other teams don't have those kind of finishers. But their luck, I thought, was running out. The other big thing to know. So Ronaldo ended up getting subbed out late on. Now, if you watch the game, he did not look that great. He got into good positions, but it's kind of weird how poor he's been. He had one. It was a really nice, I think it was a cutback pass from like Asensio or somebody passed it back to him, and he almost tripped over the ball. Like, it was a perfect, you would just think in stride, he would just shoot it, but he ended up like tumbling over it, and it didn't work out. And then the first goal, if I remember correctly, actually, I don't remember if it was the first goal or the second goal. He ended up being on a nice through ball. He ends up shooting it. The keeper saves it, but it bounces off. Benzema gets the rebound and scores.
Yeah.
I kid you not. And this, it might have been, maybe it was the second goal, because I think this was the goal to put them ahead. So this was getting them their win kind of late on in the second half. Ronaldo didn't cheer at all. Everybody was cheering with Benzema because they're like, yeah, we got the scoring goal. Ronaldo was so pissed that he had missed and he didn't score. Like, he didn't even go over to them. He was just pouting on the side. This is making a big deal out of seemingly
pouting
nothing
on the side.
But this is the kind of difficult thing, and we've seen this. Maybe we'll talk about this when we talk about the Premier League. You have players like Rooney. This isn't the same thing at all. But you know, Pep had to bench. He ended up leaving out Hart. And then with us, you have Messi. Yep. When you have these big name players, it's a question of if they're not playing or you need them to rest, you have to bench them. And Zidane, for the past couple weeks, he hasn't been doing that. There have been a bunch of games where he was not even close to the best player on the pitch, and he ended up taking off Bale or something, because Bale will live with it. He's okay with it, even though he is like the next guy they need. But they finally bench Ronaldo, which I honestly was happy about, because Zidane has to have the balls to do that. Ronaldo was pissed. I mean, he had that face on. After he got sent off, he like threw his towel on the ground when he sat on the ground. And I'm sure he didn't like it that after he got taken off is when the second goal was scored that led to the draw. Don't get me wrong. There's some aspect of, if you're a player of that caliber, you always want to be playing. I get that. And Zidane said it was for not tactical reasons, because they wanted to rest him, because they do have Dortmund, the midweek game, so I get it. But Ronaldo, he has to realize if he's not playing at the best, he's hurting the team. I fear this moment, because I don't think it's happened yet, but when this happens to Messi. I think one advantage of Messi is, since he can play as a creative playmaker, he can have a little bit more longevity, because he doesn't always need to play the striker role. But I am so nervous for that time where Messi is just not playing as well as he should, and you have to be the one to bench Messi. Like, how do you do that? I mean, we've been benching Messi lately, but Messi's been okay with it. He's lived with it.
Right.
That's different, because he understood that the team needed it. It wasn't like, you're not playing as well. And we'll have to see. I mean, Ronaldo, he's only scored one goal in five games, which is the lowest like he's ever scored since Sporting or something. Some ridiculous stat. He's never scored this few. And honestly, it wasn't like he just had some, you know, unlucky misses or something. He just hasn't looked very good. So we'll have to see. We'll see how it unfolds. We'll see how they do. So Dortmund is coming up. We'll talk about that when we talk about the Champions League. But that'll be a huge test for this team. I don't think this team has played up to who they should be, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they're still on top, because this was only a draw, so they're still 1 point ahead of us.
Right.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, Seville lost. They were actually in second place. So we moved up to second place. We're 1 point behind Real Madrid. And I don't know. It's good that we're closing the gap. We're still behind, though, so we still need to keep winning those games. And I think the one positive, although we drew it, but the Atleti game is behind us. Although it was our home game, whatever. It happened. And
one of the big matches is out of the way.
Yeah, at least, you know, like, it's still a big deal. But this weekend there are going to be a couple matches that'll be interesting to watch. So hopefully we'll see some changes. I believe Barcelona will move to first, but I don't know. We'll see.
All right. So we've got the Premier League left to go here. We started out with a really tantalizing matchup between Man United and Leicester City.
Well, okay, seemingly tantalizing.
Well, yes. Let's talk about it. But leading into the weekend, this was the match I was looking forward to, right?
Because, well, there's also Arsenal-Chelsea.
Yes, but these are the two teams that needed the win. I think, coming into this match, they were both a little shaky, so it's like, okay, Leicester needs to turn it around, Man United needs 3 points. And it ended up not being very close.
Not even a contest.
4-1 for United over Leicester. All four goals came before in the first half, actually. Smalling, Mata, Rashford, and Pogba all on the score sheet before Leicester was a really nice,
wonderful goal.
Gray scored a really nice goal in the 50.
It was a really good goal,
but not enough to come back.
To be fair, Leicester had like a good 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and then I do think there was a big change once Man U scored their first goal.
Yeah,
but man, 4-1.
They look good. They looked very strong. They looked more like the United that I was had in my head when I was like, okay, this is the team that's going to win the league.
And you know what the interesting thing was? I believe three out of four of the goals were set pieces. I might be wrong. Maybe only two goals were set pieces. But point being that, well, first, you would think Leicester could defend that. I mean, I feel like they've got some fairly tall players. Yep. But it's interesting to see how many were set pieces rather than open play. And there was one big change to the starting lineup in Man U.
Yeah.
I don't know who that was.
Who was missing, Sean?
So Rooney was finally benched. This was something people have been talking about. Going back to the whole benching Ronaldo and stuff like that, this was a big thing Mourinho had to do. It was interesting because Mourinho seemingly had Rooney's back and honestly waited until Rooney, like until the fans were kind of pissed. Because I think everybody at this point was like, Pep made that choice to bench Hart without fans' input, I guess. That was his decision. I think Mourinho, and maybe he thought he could get more out of Rooney. Because honestly, Rooney's older, but he's not old. Especially considering you're playing with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's 35.
Right. He's also the captain.
Who?
Rooney.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that also makes a big difference. But my point is, it's kind of weird to see how poor he's been. But it is what it is, and they looked way better.
Yeah.
Pogba looked better. Mata looked really good. There were scores from all around. And honestly, the one goal they conceded was just a crazy goal. It shouldn't have happened. When I say it shouldn't have happened, it was a moment of brilliance. It's, in a way, against the run of play. United looked like the better team all the way around. So, definitely looks good for Man U. I mean, they have to see. Now the question is how they do versus the second tier top teams like the Liverpools, the Chelseas, the Arsenals, stuff like that. And by the way, we'll get into it, but the same thing goes for City because they haven't played that many either. But I will say, man, Leicester City, they kind of look like what we thought they were going to do last year.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate.
They didn't lose anybody but Conte.
I know.
They really look poor. And, I mean, where are they in the table now? Aren't they, like, 11th or something? I might be wrong.
12th place, yeah. Tied for 11th, yeah.
Jeez. Like, it's really disheartening to see. I didn't think they were going to win the league. I don't think any of us predicted that they'd be top four.
No.
But, man. And I will honestly say this. I don't think... I think the Manchester clubs are better and Liverpool. So that's, like, three teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Tottenham hasn't. They're doing well, but I haven't think they've looked like insanely good. Chelsea, we still don't know what Chelsea is, and Arsenal is doing their Arsenal thing. I think Leicester has lost because Leicester has been the worst team. I mean, this isn't their first 4-1 loss, so I don't know. It's disappointing to see, but maybe this is what the real team was, and whatever. I mean, they still won the title last year. You can't erase that. But disappointing to see. Do you think who does United have next? Actually. I don't know who they're playing in the upcoming week, but do you think this will start a run? Or, I mean, honestly, if they're playing smaller teams, I don't see why they can't win. It's really a question of the bigger teams. So
they have Stoke next at home.
And Stoke. I think they can beat Stoke at this point. Do you think they'll bench Rooney again? Keep him on the bench?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, this was a convincing performance. So
how could they not bench him?
It'd be hard for me. As a manager, it'd be hard for you not to start the same players, right?
The question is, what would Rooney add? What would be the advantage other than rotation?
I don't know.
There's nothing. Like, he'll
probably play in the Champions League in midweek.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Or Europa, right?
Sorry.
Is this a return leg for Feyenoord?
Yeah, sorry.
You're right. They'll probably play. It's kind of sad to see, too, because he's like a talisman. In a weird way, he was almost as, not as, but he was like Ferguson was. Like, he was the Man U player for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's definitely fallen off. But anyway.
So we had Sunderland dropping 2-3 to Crystal Palace. Everton getting a 0.
Wait, one quick thing about the Sunderland thing. So they've been really bad, right? And I think I remember seeing the scoreline, and they were, I believe they were up 2-0.
Yeah, Defoe had two goals to go up 2-0.
And then one was like, the Crystal Palace's goal to win it was in like the 95th or something. Yep. Like, I thought the game was over because all the other games were over, and then I see 3-2. Man, that's got to be disheartening. Like, they cannot get a win. But, I mean, it's Sunderland. I don't even know who's on Sunderland.
And then one of the other higher-performing teams so far this season, Everton, dropping 1-0 away to Bournemouth.
It's disappointing. The keeper did really well. I don't think we showed the same guile that we had in the past. And their one goal was fantastic. Who was, like, Stanislas or something? I don't actually know who he is. But disappointing. But honestly, I don't know. I guess we're overperforming as it is. So we're still one of the top teams, oddly enough. We do have a slate of difficult teams coming up. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know. It's still good to see us tie up. I guess I don't sound enthusiastic because I just don't expect this. Like, this is unusual.
Yeah.
And I just expect us to at some point drop to between 5-10, which is what our usual spot is.
Liverpool with a very convincing 5-1 win over Hull City.
Yeah. I mean, there was a red card, so that's a big deal, but Liverpool is just firing in all cylinders. And there were tons of goal scorers. I don't think anybody scored two goals.
Miller,
it was PKs.
Yeah.
So caveat to that. But that shows like they can spread it around.
Lallana, Mane, and Coutinho also scored.
And I mean, we've been saying this, but Liverpool, their defense has held up. That was the question you had.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I don't know why their offense is this good. Because like I said last week, I don't think they have that many stars. But whatever, they're doing it. And 5-1, like that's a really solid scoreline. And this is not the first, like, that having that big of a goal difference. So that's huge. Also noting, kind of disappointing, I think we were both fans of him, but Sturridge still isn't scoring, really.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to see that. You think he has the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he has the chance, he has the playing time, and he has a decent enough team around him, I think.
He probably should be, like, okay, considering the year he had with Suarez, he should be considered maybe the best two or three on the team, maybe like Coutinho and maybe Sané or something, but I don't know, he's not trying. I mean, he did draw the PK, and I think he's happy, at least like the team's doing well, but this is where you'd see it happening. And it's actually funny to when you think about it, Milner's taking the PKs.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, you'd think Sturridge would be the guy taking the PKs. So clearly that also shows that Klopp has confidence in him, but not that much confidence.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Manchester City getting a good away win 3-1 over Swansea. Aguero with a brace and Sterling scoring. And I know, Sean, you pointed this out, but how good Sterling has looked this season so far. And I think that's been one of the they have talent oozing everywhere out of this team. But I think one of the big differences from last year to this year has been Sterling's performance.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you say they're oozing how you put it, but when you think about it, last year we definitely said who's gonna score if Aguero's out. That was always a question. And they've bought new players this year, but a lot of them, like, it wasn't necessarily all strikers. So seeing Sterling step up, it's crazy. And it's not just, I mean, he's had a lot of things where his speed is definitely his biggest strength, and there are times where he's like, oh, he got himself into the right position, or he was there, you know, to pass it off. This was a goal where he broke with Aguero. It was weird because I felt like Aguero wasn't catching up to him. I thought there was gonna be a cutback pass, and he didn't. And Sterling ended up just, like, going around the keeper. And even then, since he's a righty and he was, like, on the left side or something, I didn't feel like it was that easy of a shot. He had a tight area to shoot in. And he scored. And it's like, that's confidence and composure. And then, I mean, Aguero, it's really good to see him back. You kind of expect him to score.
Sure.
And he did really well. Huge thing. De Bruyne got injured.
Yep.
And he'll be out. I don't think they've actually confirmed how many weeks, but some reports saying like 4 weeks. I don't know if it's going to be more or less because I have to do scans, but that's actually a big deal.
Yep.
But Silva's back, so in the midfield, that's going to help out a lot too. Yeah. So whatever. I don't think company's back yet, but I don't know. It's another good win for them, and they still have a perfect start. I don't know how many wins they had last year at the start, but I think this might be more.
Tottenham 2-1 over Middlesbrough.
Yeah, Tottenham, and I think... No, it wasn't a come-from-behind win. But the goal scorer was Son.
Son, yeah, both which, goals.
My understanding is he hadn't been doing that well. He hadn't really been fitting in.
No.
And I think they were thinking of selling him or something, but clearly they started him. Both goals were also, like, him. They were just him.
Mm-hmm.
It was his individual brilliance. Like, it was really good. I don't know. I haven't really watched him, but Tottenham, I mean... They're in second place, which you almost forget, but
yeah, and they were there at the end of the last season.
They were,
and they were in the hunt for most of the season.
It's weird because there's some part of me that thinks they don't look as good as they did last year, but
hey,
when you're in second place,
they're getting results. Though.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being dumb.
Stoke City 1-1 to West Brom Albion. The big game, big matchup, definitely Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Yeah.
3-0 to the Gunners.
There was some ridiculous statistic before this that something like Arsenal hadn't beaten Chelsea since like 2008. I don't know. I had to check this because
That can't be right.
Yeah, that just seems completely wrong. But there was some ridiculous statistic of how long they had been consistently losing to them. Maybe it was like they lost to Mourinho's Chelsea or something. I don't know. But they had consistently lost. And this was, I mean, you know, the first half, they just destroyed them. Two goals within like 5 minutes. A terrible back pass from Cahill. Sanchez jumped on it.
Yep.
And then what was the second goal?
Walcott.
Yeah. That was like a good goal. It was like a good... It was a good interplay where, mm-hmm. you know, it was a nice setup across the box and then he scored it. And then Ozil, same thing. Like he played against Sanchez. Sanchez played him back and then you get a good shot. Like, I mean, it's for all those Gunner fans, it's good to see them doing well. But man, this Chelsea side, I don't know, man. I think we talked about this before. We didn't really know what was going to happen with Conte's Chelsea, but man, like. This is not good.
It's not what we expected.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I think I saw his press conference. I heard his press conference, and he said, we're a good team on paper, but we need to be a good team on the pitch. Yeah. And that's totally true. What do you think is going on? Like, they still have the players that made them runaway winners in, 2 years ago? So not last year, the year before that. What is the difference?
I don't know. I mean, they had a terrible start to the season last year, right? I mean, they're... in eighth right now. They've already got two losses on the season, and I don't know. They have the depth there. They have the players. They have the talent.
On paper.
And why they're not playing together as a unit is beyond me.
And, like, it's not even close. Like, they're just doing really poorly overall. And, like, they've had some wins that were barely, like, Costa will get two goals in the 80th something. Like, this is... It's a really disappointing start for them, and I don't know how they turn it around. I mean, I'll be honest. I've said this before. I am kind of anti-Mourinho after his stint at Real Madrid, just the way he acted and the things he does in the past. I feel negatively towards him. I don't know how it's possible, but there's some part of me that thinks there's still some effect that he had from last year onto this year. Because, I mean, you're looking at players like Hazard, Fabregas, who's like his first start in a while because he's been benched. Courtois not doing well. Matic. I think Terry's still not back. But Cahill, like all these stalwarts of the club doing pretty poorly. Honestly, Costa's probably doing the best. And I don't even know, like, I guess they want to get... How do you pronounce his name? Batshuayi? I can't pronounce it, but they're signing over the summer. They want to get him more minutes because they need to change his team up. And I thought Conte would do better, to be totally honest, because I felt like it was the Mourinho effect from last year. That's what happened. That's why they've turned into a shadow of their former selves. But this is getting bad.
It's serious, yeah.
I don't think... I heard like Gab Marcotti or something say that Conte's job is still completely safe. I mean, it's way too early anyway. But granted, it is... Roman Abramovich's Chelsea, so you never know what he'll do. Mm-hmm. But he understands that. So apparently Conte had players he wanted to get. I don't even know who that is, to be honest. And they didn't get those players. So that was a big deal for Conte. He has to play with who he has. But honestly, like, if this was a... I wonder what score their FIFA 17 team has. Because honestly, on paper, this should be a pretty solid squad. But they're terrible now. I don't know. We'll see. But good for the Gunners.
Yes, it is. Arsene Wenger.
He gets his win. And too bad it's not against Mourinho. But
We had two more games this weekend. Southampton 3-0 win over West Ham United. Charlie Austin, Tadic, and Ward-Prowse all on the score sheet. And we also had a late game on Monday. Burnley with a 2-0 win over Watford. So let's look at the table. Man City, undefeated. Six wins in six matches. 18 points in first. Tottenham also...
What's the goal difference?
13.
13.
Yeah. Tottenham also have not lost a match yet. Two draws, so they're in second with 14 points. The Gunners move up to third, tied with Liverpool and Everton, all with 13. Man United in sixth with 12. Crystal Palace and Chelsea with 10.
One quick thing. So I was wrong. It wasn't 2008. They haven't beat... So Arsenal hasn't beaten Chelsea in the league in the past nine matches. So the last time they won... was 2011 with a Robin Van Persie hat trick. That's how old it is. Like, that's pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
Even, you think, even with Chelsea struggles last year, it's surprising. I mean, I think there were some draws, but they've never beaten them. It's crazy. Oh, yeah. So the Community Shield, they beat them, but whatever.
Oh, right.
Let's not count that, because that doesn't count. Okay, so the final section of today's podcast, we're going to go over the Champions League. So in the next couple of days, actually one of these is probably going to have already happened by the time we upload this, but we're going to preview some of the matches. I think on Tuesday, some of the big Champs League matchups, Monaco versus Leverkusen. So that doesn't sound like a huge matchup, but Monaco, I mean, I hate doing this, but I do feel like, you know, Ligue 1 is probably on a lower level than the Bundesliga. So even though Monaco, I mean, they're in second place there. Leverkusen is a lot lower than them, but who knows what could happen. I don't actually know where this is at. But I think this will be actually a big matchup. And we've talked about it. This group is, it's Monaco, Leverkusen, CSKA Moscow, and Tottenham.
Yeah.
And so that one, you really don't know who's going to win that out.
Yep.
So this could be a really big matchup. And then CSKA Moscow plays Tottenham. So we'll see. I mean, we assume Tottenham will win that game. They're probably strong enough. That same day, probably the biggest match of the day, Dortmund versus Madrid.
Yeah.
That will be huge.
Both teams coming off a win from their first match in the group. This is definitely, I mean, this is going to play a huge factor into who wins the group, I think, right?
Yeah.
So this is like clearly advantage for moving forward.
And I mean, so I've said this before. One of the things that makes me think that certain groups aren't really groups of death is when if there are two teams,
sure,
that are clearly the,
yeah,
better teams,
yeah,
they're
going
to,
yeah,
go through. However, I really think if Madrid is the level that I think they are, although they might not be, I mean, they've already won two Champions League in the past couple of years, so I shouldn't say that necessarily. I feel like, though, definitely for Dortmund, they might need a good draw. I think Dortmund's really good. I don't think they're good enough to beat the top three or four teams in the world. Maybe.
No, but to
maybe
your point,
not,
though, like, Madrid has not looked good.
Yeah.
Like, this is the time for them to do it.
So that's why this is such a big matchup, because getting the top of this group could be the difference. I mean, last year, I mean, I keep repeating, Real Madrid had a really good draw, and I'm sure a lot of that lends itself to getting the right wins in the,
yep,
right places. But this is going to be huge. I hate when I look up news about it. It doesn't immediately show where it's going to be. Part of me thinks it's in Madrid, but I don't actually know. But it'll be really interesting to watch. I'm excited. I hope Madrid gets destroyed. I hope
it's,
they show their true
colors.
It's
in Germany.
Oh, it's in Germany?
Yeah.
Okay, so even better. And then, let's see. That day, those are probably the biggest. Oh, sorry. Leicester-Porto is also that day. So that'll be another big matchup. Another one of those groups where we said,
yeah,
it's really a question of, we don't know who's going to get out of the group.
You know, Leicester has won the first game in the group, so they're the only teams on 3 points right now. So I think if they can get a win versus Porto, they'll go a long way into winning this group.
And I mean, this year has started to change my mind, but the Leicester of last year is without a doubt good enough to top this group, I,
yep,
think. Well, okay, I don't know a ton about Porto, but Porto has always been a pretty good team, but maybe not top of the group team. So it'll be a fun match to watch. Some other matches, I mean, they're not as huge. Dinamo Zagreb versus Juventus. I mean, Juventus had that disappointing draw before, but I think they're probably going to win this match. And then Seville versus Lyon. I would assume Seville's going to win. You don't really know. Seville's been doing really well in La Liga. Lyon hasn't been on that same level, but it'll probably be an interesting matchup because Seville consistently loses in the beginning of Champs League, goes down to Europe and wins Europa. So they're not...
That's what they're playing for.
Yeah. It's funny, though, but they really haven't done that well in Champions League, which I think is something to think about. They haven't been good enough to beat the bigger teams. Then moving on to Wednesday, first matchup. Well, okay, they're all at the same time. So first matchup on the website I'm looking at, Arsenal versus Basel. You assume Arsenal's going to win this?
I would think so.
I mean, they've been looking really good.
Yep.
They've done well in the league. I don't see how Basel will overtake them. PSG versus Ludogorets. This is really more a question of, is PSG going to get their mojo back? Because Ludogorets is not a good team. PSG should win this handily, but it's really a question of, like, you know, last round, if Cavani's missing everything, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
If you're the better team, if they can defend well enough. Then Besiktas versus Dynamo Kiev. Do you have anything? Okay. Then Napoli versus Benfica. That'll be an interesting game. It's more a question of same thing. How is Napoli going to do in Champs League?
Yep.
This is another metric of their success. Yeah, they did really well last year. They do well in Serie A. How well can they do versus other European teams? Mm-hmm.
This is definitely definitely a winnable group for them.
Without a doubt. They should top this group. Like, stats-wise, they should definitely top this group. Then the group C, you have Mönchengladbach versus Barca. I expect us to win. Mönchengladbach, I didn't actually realize this before. I think they're in fourth right now. So I guess they're better than we expect. I do expect even a messy-less Barcelona, I feel like we should win.
Yeah, I mean, you hope they give you more of a challenge than Celtic did.
Yes, yeah. And admittedly, we rested a lot of starters. Like I said, our midfield didn't have Iniesta, didn't have Rakitic.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Busquets is going to be out, but we'll see how we do versus Mönchengladbach. But it shows that Luis Enrique... he's thinking about this. Like, right. He wants to win this. And then Celtic versus Man City. I assume Celtic will put up a better fight versus City, but I don't know. I mean, Brendan Rodgers' side hasn't looked great.
The way City looks right now, too. I mean, yeah, you can't see them losing this.
It's really a question of how many goals they're going to score. Then the other huge match of this Champions League week is Atleti versus Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
This is really interesting because you just don't know how it's going to be. It's like every year, so... Atleti is incredibly defensive, and they play on the counter. They grind out a win. Munich is incredibly offensive, and Madrid has beaten them in the past. They beat them last year. Did they have them in the group stages last year? I don't remember. I think they played them before the knockout stages. But this and Atleti, it's so funny because they're so defensive, but they have some decent attackers. Like, I mean, the obvious one is Griezmann, but can they stop Bayern Munich? Ancelotti, Munich's coach, I mean, he has a lot of experience in Champions League, so he can clearly win this, but it'll be
interesting. And against Spanish teams, too.
Yeah, yeah. So he knows Atleti. I don't think his record versus Atleti was great when he was at Real Madrid, but still, it's going to be a really interesting matchup. I think the disappointing thing people see a lot is that you kind of feel like Atleti kind of ruined the game by making it so defensive, but honestly, when they played us... they did play defensive, but they weren't... the thing that they're noted by is they tackle a lot and they kick a lot, which is really dirty play, but they need to do that to get us off our, like, just out of our mindsets, off our concentration.
Yeah.
And so normally it's full of yellow cards and red cards. There was, like, one or two yellow cards when we played them, so it'll be interesting to see how their tactics change, and I don't know. We'll see. Who do you think is going to win that one?
That's a tough call, to be honest. I mean... Bayern, the way they're starting the season, I think I would give it to them, but I think that's going to be one of the better
games. I
don't know,
Hamburg,
this group stage.
1-0 versus Hamburg. That's a big I'm the same way. I don't really know.
I think that's going to be one of the better matchups of the group stage, though.
This is the definition of Atleti, where I think everybody who's doing it, they're going to say, I don't know who's going to win it because Atletico usually does really well versus big teams. But Munich is a better team, so they're probably going to win 1-2. And then somehow Atletico pulls out a draw or a 1-0 win. We consistently underrate them, so I could see them pulling out a draw or a win. But it's Bayern Munich is still probably the better team. And that basically rounds it out for the Champions League. Those are all the big matches, at least. That'll do it for this week. You can catch us on iTunes. Please rate and subscribe to us. We're Kiss the Crest. You can also find us on thecommentist.com, where you can find some other great podcasts, such as
Bearded Vegans,
The Unwind,
Roll the Hit,
Sconfire,
and this one.
Yeah, this one. You're already checking it out. Yeah, so please go on there. You can write some comments. Just say whatever you feel. Subscribe to us. We want to hear your feedback if you're actually listening to us. We don't know. But that'll do it, and we hope you listen in next week.
Thanks.